Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Let's get into the teaching this morning. As Jordan mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about children. I'm excited to bring this message to you about celebrating children. You know, this is a season where we celebrate. We're not depressed. We're not sad. Yeah, I understand there's lots of bad things happening in the world, scary stuff and crazy stuff and all of that. But I just keep thinking about Jesus, who is the light, and how the darkness cannot overcome the light that is in us. Yes, there is darkness. Yes, there are scary days. But to a Christian, to somebody who knows God, who's somebody who walks with God, and you have the promises of God in your life, you don't have to be afraid of the darkness that is in the world. And today we're celebrating the good things that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about celebrating today. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that message, go online and listen to that one. That'll lift your spirit and prepare you for a great new year ahead, celebrating today. Today, we're going to talk about celebrating children because, as we said, it's all about children today, and we love children. Children are not in the way. They're not an interruption. They're not something we want to, you know, hurry up and put them out. But we actually celebrate children, and we believe in children, and we live to minister and help children. Some of you may have been raised with the old adage that isn't true, but maybe you were taught children are to be what? Seen and not heard. But that's not true, because children speak and they have something to offer. Children are models of kingdom life. And they should be celebrated, and they should be honored, protected, and raised correctly. They can talk to us. They can teach us things. I've learned so many things from children in my own life. I found a few lessons here, a few words of wisdom from children, and I thought I would share them with you because they're so cute. One child said, if you're feeling blue, try painting yourself another color. All right. Another one said, if you go down the wrong path, just make a right turn. All right, I like that. Then one other child said, people are supposed to make mistakes. That's why we have erasers, all right? That makes sense. This one's my favorite. Sometimes you just need to take a nap and get over it. Some of you are going to do that today. You heard it here at Gateway. Sometimes you need to take a nap and just get over it. And then another child said, don't forget to play. I like that. And one child said, in my heart, I'm still little. Children can teach us. They can teach us profound things. My children have spoken life to me at different times. I'll never forget one time. We were on our way out of town, and it was on Sunday. We had a service, and my whole family was in the car. And we had a service, and I kind of thought, well, I think I did all right. But somebody said, you did a good job today, Dad. And I thought, I don't know if I did a very good job. It didn't feel like the greatest Sunday ever. I'm not sure I did the greatest. And my children just started speaking to me. Dad, if you gave the message God told you to give, then you don't have to worry about whether you did a good job or not. You just give the message. They started like ministering to me, like lifted me up. Kids are totally awesome. They'll speak life into you, and so we should celebrate that. Jesus said something very famously about children, and I want us to focus on this because it's a message for all of us. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, truly I say unto you, unless you turn, unless you change directions, unless you experience a change in your life and become like a sophisticated intellectual adult. Is that what he said? No, unless you turn and become like a what? Like a child, like children, you will never enter, you'll never experience the kingdom of heaven and the things God has for you. So in other words, God's looking for a change in us. He's not looking for us to be more sophisticated, more grown up, more adult. Actually, there are things about children that absolutely nail what the life of faith is all about. We're going to talk about those things, and I want to unpack them for us this morning in just a minute, but I want to just talk for a moment before I go there about Jesus and Christmas and how Jesus came as a child. Have you ever stopped to think that the way God entered the world was in the form of a child? You ever thought what that's all about? Why did that have to happen that way? He didn't just come on for 3 minutes right before the cross, right before he died for our sins and then rose from the dead and then make a quick exit. The first time we see Jesus, he enters into our lives through the story of the Christmas birth of Christ. We first see Jesus as a tiny, vulnerable baby in a manger, in a feed trough. Then the Gospels portray him growing a little bit older. We see him as a teenager, as a young man, 12 years old, debating with the religious leaders at the time, talking about being about his father's business. We see him a little bit later growing as an apprentice to his father, Joseph, the carpenter, the artisan, where Jesus learned a trade. He developed a skill and an ability as an artisan and a cabinet maker from his father. So we relate to the journey that Jesus took. He lived a full life. He was born as a child and grew up and became a teenager and then a young adult and then experienced everything that we experience. And it was a process for him, just like it's a process for you and I. You know, we grow, we develop. We have to stay with it. It's a process. Luke chapter 2, verse 40 says concerning Jesus that he grew. He was a child that grew and became strong. When I look at these kids here, I'm so grateful for how they're growing and becoming strong. I see faith in these children. I see a love for God in our children. And I thank God for the people that are nurturing them, the parents and the children's workers that we have here in the ministry, pouring into our children to make them strong. We need to raise strong children. Can I have an amen? This world is, I wish I could say that everything's going to be easy. They're talking about now how kids have more anxiety and more challenge and so on and so forth. But I want to tell you something. I have great hope for this next generation that God, with faith and the love of their family and the help of their church, that this generation is going to grow strong. They're going to be able to handle whatever life dishes out for them. Jesus grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom. Boy, I pray that our children would be filled with wisdom. And it says the favor of God was on him. If you want to know how to pray for your child, pray favor. Just pray that everywhere your child goes, school, neighborhood, wherever, that favor and protection will be upon your child. Your child is becoming strong. Don't let your heart become fearful about what this world can do to children. There's too much fear. We got to stand in faith, believing for our children that they're going to go through that process of becoming strong. They're going to be filled with wisdom. Come on. They're going to be filled with favor. Don't say, oh, I'm so nervous about my children. I understand there's a lot of reasons to be nervous, but you got to speak life and faith over your child. Say, you're full of wisdom. You're full of favor. You're growing strong in the Lord and nurture their faith that way. That's how Jesus came up. He came as a child. Partly because he had to experience everything that we experience. He had to experience that growth process. He had to go through those difficult teenage years. He had to experience that vulnerability that a child experiences, where it's totally dependent on people around them for all the good things. He had to conquer every challenge. He had to face every temptation that you and I face. The Bible says that he's a high priest that understands exactly what we're going through. At every phase of our lives, Jesus has been there. He's been through it. He faced down every temptation that we would ever encounter. He gave us a perfect example to inspire us, to challenge us to live like him. We know that his ultimate mission wasn't just to be born into the world, but his ultimate mission was to grow and finally embrace the cross, which was the plan of God for his life, that he would die on a cross for the sins of the world and then rise from the dead. Jesus finished his growth process. He finished his mission, and he can understand the journey that you're on. He can understand the incompletes and the difficulties and the hard moments. He gets what you're feeling. We are comforted by the fact that Jesus faced everything. And we have joy to know that he can lift us up and show us the way that we ought to live. The beauty of the Christmas season, the story of the Christmas season, The message that we're celebrating at this time of the year is exactly what the angel announced in Luke chapter 2. He said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, because I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That's our message. And if you're discouraged today, or if you're afraid, if you're going through a hard time in your life, I want to give you some good news. There's a Savior that is born to take away your sins. Luke chapter 2 tells us not to be afraid, that today is a day of good tidings because a Savior is born, and He is Christ the Lord. So that's why Jesus came into the world. And that's what Christmas is really all about. And I love the way the kids sing it. It's not Christmas until it's Christmas in your heart. Today at the end of the message, you're going to have an opportunity to pray. And I hope that every, you know, there's that song, "Let every heart prepare him room." You're going to have a chance to make a decision today to open your heart to Christ. I pray that you'll do that. Let's talk about kids and the great example that they set for us, especially childlike faith. Jesus said, "Unless you have faith like a child." What did he mean by that? I got to thinking about that question, and I wrote down four things that I wanted to share about childlike faith that I think are fantastic. Number one, childlike faith is trusting. I think you and I need to do better in the area of trusting. There's something about adults. As we get a little more beat up in life, we have a few more disappointments in life, somehow our truster gets damaged. And we say, "Well, I don't want to put my trust in that. I don't want to put my trust in that." But children are not like that. Children trust. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it just seems like children have no problem believing things that are not seen. Children have trust. They believe what they're told. If you tell your child they can fly, they'll probably try to start flapping their wings. If you tell them the moon is made of cheese, they'll believe you. They'll wonder, what kind of cheese is it made of? Children just trust. You say, "Well, that's naive. That's unsophisticated." Jesus said, unless you have that kind of trust, that kind of belief, to just believe what God is telling you, to trust what you're being told by God. He said, if you don't have that kind of faith, you're not going to experience the good things of God. Somewhere along the line, our truster gets broken. People disappoint us. Maybe we say a prayer and it isn't instantaneously answered, and we're all mad at God, you know. I mean, I prayed and it didn't work. That's the way some of us think. And so we stop praying and we pull back. And we say, well, it didn't work. Well, first of all, it's not magic and it's not a formula. It's a relationship. We pray to communicate with God. It's not that, you know, prayer is not put a nickel in the slot and let's see if you win. Prayer is communication with God. And it's just as much asking God what he would like for us as us telling him what we would like from him. It's called relationship. But we get broken. We have heartaches, disappointments, and the trust leaves us. But Jesus said, be like a child. To a child, nothing is impossible. To a child, miracles happen. And he says, if you'll believe, you can receive. The Apostle Peter had childlike faith, and it's glorious to read the story of when Jesus came walking on the water during the storm. They were out there on the Sea of Galilee. Peter was in the boat, and Jesus was walking on the water, and all the other disciples kind of gripped a little bit tighter to the boat. But Peter was the one who said, "Lord, can I do that too? He had that childlike faith, like that's something a kid would do. I want to do that. And Jesus said, come on out. And Peter stepped out, and a miracle took place because Peter had that childlike faith. And Peter put one foot in front of another, and he was walking. But then the adult part of him, the part of his head that says, you're not supposed to be walking on the water. This is crazy, right? The adult took over. And what happened when the adult took over? He started to sink. And Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. He pulled him up. Helped him. I think sometimes the Lord would say to me, maybe say to you, oh, you have little faith. Why did you get in your head? You were experiencing life. You were experiencing joy. You were experiencing my power. Why did you get so adult suddenly? I think what he's trying to say to us is, remember that childlike quality of trust. That's where the miracles are. I believe God wants to do miracles in our lives if we'll trust him. Another verse I found about children and their faith and their message to us. It says in the Message translation of Psalms 8:2, nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs that drown the enemy talk and silence atheist babble. It says in King James, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise. This is just a translation that says there's something about when a child praises, when a child speaks, when a child believes that totally shuts down the voice of the enemy. Just totally breaks the enemy's. The enemy is there in his sophistication saying, oh, you can't believe in this miracle. And then a child will just say, I believe. And the enemy is just rebuked. How many of you would like to have just a little more childlike faith in your life? Let's recapture the wonder of trusting God again. The other part of this let me just challenge you with this. Children trust when things look impossible. They really do. The question for us is, do we? Maybe you're facing some kind of a tough challenge right now. Just let the childlike faith rise up in you. Just believe that God is good enough that he'll do something wonderful and that a miracle can take place. Amen. The other piece of this is transparency. I think childlike faith, secondly, childlike faith is transparent. Children are, go ahead and advance to the second point. Yeah. Childlike faith is transparent. Children are authentic. They're not worried about how they look. Children aren't overly into, you know, management of their public opinion and how people think about them. Children just lay it out there. They just, whatever they're thinking, they just come out with it, right? If you got kids like mine, I mean, you know, they just say whatever's on their mind. They reveal themselves. If a child is sad, they're terrible at hiding it. If a child is happy, they just go ahead and they laugh and they giggle. And I think that's part of what Jesus meant when he said, become like a child in your faith. You know, be authentic. Don't be so. When did we get so sophisticated we started wearing our masks? We started posing in life. I love to see the guys that are so cool in church. When it's time to praise God, they're like, they would never do anything to break the cool. You know, they would never just lift their hands and. But kids aren't like that. Kids, when they're happy, they just let it out. When they're sad, they cry it out. When they're mad, they yell it out. I mean, they're real. And there's something about that authentic side of children that sort of rebukes our plastic, phony, stage-managed personalities, our tendency to pose and make sure that people understand how very cool and sophisticated we are. Are you willing to reveal your true self in worship? Are you willing to rejoice when it's time to rejoice? Are you willing to cry in God's presence? You know, let yourself go a little bit. You know, don't be so adult in your faith, in your expression. There was one woman who, she got into a lot of trouble, but I tell you, her heart was right. She came to Simon Peter's house, or rather Simon's house in Luke chapter 7. And Jesus was there. When Jesus came in, Simon the host, he didn't do any of the standard things that he should have done as a host to welcome Jesus into his home. But this woman that was there, she had this kind of authentic faith. She just poured out her love and her worship. She was weeping at his feet, washing his feet. You know, Simon hadn't washed Jesus' feet, which was the custom, but she began to wash his feet with her tears, and she used her hair to wipe. Now, you can imagine what people might have thought. What kind of woman is this? This is she's violating all the boundaries. You know, she's, doesn't she know? You don't do that. You know, that's not polite. That's not proper. But she was so in love with Jesus, and Jesus commented about how much she had been forgiven and how much she loved. He was celebrating her authenticity in worship. He was saying, y'all ought to treat me more like her. Let's kind of shed our adult sophistication when it comes to our prayers and our worship. And let's just enjoy Jesus. If we're sad, let's just go ahead and cry in church. If we feel like lifting our hands, if we're ready to rejoice, even if our heart is broken, we can still lift our hands and express our love for the Lord. Jesus said, unless you're like a child, you can't begin to experience the kingdom of God. Be vulnerable. Be honest. Children are brutally honest. They don't put on facades. They don't pretend everything is okay when it isn't. They'll let you know. Be vulnerable. Be open. Be honest. Even awkwardly transparent. It's beautiful. It's virtuous. Children aren't afraid to be real. But so many of us struggle with it. Unless you become like a child, unless you become like a child, you can't begin to experience the kingdom of God. The third part of this is persistence. Childlike faith really speaks to us about persistence. Children can be annoyingly persistent, can't they? When they want something, when they're focused on something, they know how to ask and ask and ask. They don't give up. They don't let it go. There's something about a child. And Jesus, I think the Lord is so pleased with that because he talks to us about persistence. He says, I want you to be persistent. Don't get easily discouraged. Well, I prayed and it didn't work. Stay in there. Be persistent like a child. Children will press and keep on pressing until they get what they want. One beautiful example of this is in Mark chapter 10. We find this in the scripture of a persistent man who got because he stayed. He got his miracle because he stayed in the game. It says in Mark chapter 10, as Jesus went out to Jericho with his disciples, one man named blind Bartimaeus sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth just passing on the road there, he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And people started warning him to be quiet, shushing him like we would shush a child. That's enough. Stop asking. He heard you the first time. This isn't polite. This isn't nice. But Bartimaeus, he had that childlike faith, and he said, hey, I need a miracle. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to ask, and I'm going to keep on asking. And it said he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's when Jesus stood still and commanded for him to be called. What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him what he's saying to you, go your way, your faith has made you well. There's faith in persistence. There's faith in that act. It's not annoying. It's an act of faith to ask and keep on asking. And it says immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus down the road. I wonder how many miracles we didn't experience in our life because we stopped asking. How many doors didn't open because we just were so adult about it? Well, the Lord knows my address. Have you ever said, oh, the Lord knows my address. He knows my need. I don't have to ask him. That's not what a child would say. A child would be tugging on your shirt and crying and screaming. And Jesus says this, I want you to be persistent. Unless you're like a child, you won't experience the kingdom. Bartimaeus didn't care how annoying his request was. He wanted to see. How bad do you want it? How much faith do you have? Are you willing to ask and keep on asking? Children won't stop asking until they get an answer. Have you stopped asking? Because the Bible says in Matthew 7, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Childlike faith is persistent. And I just want to shake your cage a little bit today and say, don't give up. It's too soon to quit. You stay in there. You keep trusting God. You keep praying for healing. You keep trusting Him, because everyone who asks receives. The last part of this is creativity. I think childlike faith is creative. It's imaginative. There's something about adults, we kind of lose our imagination. But I think when Jesus said, I want you to have childlike faith, part of it is He was talking about the creativity of a child. Children have awesome, God-given imaginations. They aren't afraid to dream big, to believe the impossible. They don't set limits. They're not bothered by things like the laws of physics or reality or how the world works. Kids just kind of step past all that stuff. And I think there is a time for us to have good common sense and for us to be sensible and all that. But you know, when it comes to believing God for great things, we have to kind of let the sense just drop off a little bit. Kind of be a little bit more childlike and believe that God can do anything. How many of you believe that God can do anything? Just that faith is very unsophisticated and very beautiful. And that's where the miracles take place. One of the great stories of the Old Testament is Joshua chapter 10. I think Joshua captures this, maybe a piece of this imaginative faith, this creative faith. He was finishing a battle. You know, the enemy had been coming against Israel. Finally, there was a war. And it was getting late in the day and the sun was going down. But there were still more enemies to be defeated. And Joshua looked up to God and he said, God, I ask you to stop the sun. Stop the sun so that we can finish this battle. Now, that's a wild prayer. That's a prayer that a theologian might say, well, according to my understanding of the scriptures, you cannot ask God to violate the laws of physics. God would never do that. And somebody could just go on and on and on until we were all bored and wanted to stab ourselves with how God doesn't do things. But Joshua, he didn't care about the rules. He said, hey, I got a battle to win today. So I don't know where he got it from. He was creative. He just said, God, just stop the sun. And do you know that God did that? God stopped the sun. You read about it in Joshua chapter 10. And scientists tell us they can account for all of time except for 1 hour. Based on the movement of the solar system, they can account for every day and every minute except 1 hour. Because God did stop the sun that day. And it says in Joshua chapter 10, verse 14, there has never been a day like this one before or since. Oh, I love that. There's never been a day like this one before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. I tell you, there is something about a creative prayer. A prayer that says, God, just do whatever you need to do. I believe you can do it all. You could stop the sun if that's what it takes. But I'm trusting you. There's an audacious faith that we could have, a creative faith. And maybe today is your day. Maybe today is the day where the Creator God, Elohim, would show up in your life and just create something out of nothing. Why does it have to be that as you, the older you get, you know, we kind of adopt the attitude, you know, same stuff, different day. How's it going, friend? Well, same stuff, different day. Same old, same old. Well, you can have same old if you want it. But I'm going to be a childlike person. I believe God can do a miracle today. Today might be the greatest day of my life. Today might be the day when my prayer gets answered. You wake up in the morning and say, well, same old, another day at work, another day in marriage. Have a creative place in your life where God can do miracles. And I challenge you in 2018, as we face this new year, don't just say same old, same old. Believe God for something that you've never experienced in 2018. maybe today's the day where it starts. God is so creative. He has a plan for your life. Children are like that. I mean, they believe they can fly. They'll jump off a roof. You know, they'll do stuff. They'll take risks that we wish they wouldn't take. But God says, there's something about that that I love. I respond to that ability to dream and risk. Children dream. They dream big dreams. My question is, do you still have a dream? Children take big risks. My question for you is, when was the last time you took a risk and just faithed it? You said, Lord, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. I know you're faithful. Take a step of faith. Believe God. Childlike faith is creative. It's persistent. It's trusting. It's authentic. And Jesus said, this is the way we should live. The worship team is coming, and we're going to bring the service to a close. As I said, I'd like to pray for you. In a few minutes, we're going to have an opportunity to give our offering, and we're going to have a little more time to worship the Lord. I'm so glad you guys came. But I'd like to pray for you. As a matter of fact, I'd like to invite my wife to join me here. Kathy, just come. As I was thinking about talking with some of our pastors about this message and what we would do in this service today, I knew we were going to pray for the children. But I also thought about people who are struggling because maybe one of their children is going through a really hard time. And I would like us to pray for that. Maybe you have a child, maybe it's an adult child in your life that is drug addicted, in a tough marriage. Maybe they're in a tough financial situation. We're going to pray. I also would like to pray for people in our church that would love to have a child, but that dream has never come true. We've seen it happen many, many times. Some of our elders, some of our leaders in our church and others were people that couldn't have children. And we prayed and we believed, God, you could even stop the sun. You can open up this barren situation and you can create life. How many of you believe God could do that? So I would never embarrass anybody, but we're going to pray. I think I'm going to ask Kathy to say that prayer. We're going to pray for people that would like to have children. Maybe you'd like to adopt or foster children or have a child yourself. I believe God is able to do that. I also would like us to pray over the parents because raising a child is such a big job. I think about single parents. I think about parents that are struggling maybe with two jobs. Tough stuff, but God is there. He'll help you. And you may feel overwhelmed. I'm not a good mother. I'm not a good father, you might think. But God's going to grace you. He's going to help you. It's going to be a great Christmas. We're going to pray a blessing on you. And I want to say thank you to the Gateway men and women and young people who helped make our children's ministry so fantastic. Do you know, my children, I believe that my children are totally blessed, and now my grandchildren, because of the ministry of our children's ministry here at Gateway. My kids have grown up right here. They learn scriptures right here. And I'm telling you, these men and women add such value to our children. It's amazing what they do. It's a blessing. So we thank you if you're working in children's ministry. That means a lot to us. Thank you to everybody that's helping with that. Well, let's pray. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah. Let's pray, babe. We're just going to pray. Bow your heads, everybody. Father, we just thank you for your hand upon our lives. We ask you, Lord, to give us the gift of childlike faith. Help us to experience more of your kingdom. And Father, at this Christmas, I just pray the great blessing of peace and grace on every person's life, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the children's team and the people that are helping in ministry here. We just speak a blessing on them. We ask you to just encourage them and strengthen them and raise up more of them, Lord, as we reach more and more families. We need more and more workers. So, Lord, just raise up men and women who really care about making an impression on children. Lord, thank you for that ministry. We ask you to bless them. Father, I pray for those in this room today who have children that are astray, possibly estranged, caught up in addictions. We pray for our struggling children, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to do a miracle in their lives, Lord. Touch them, deliver them. For any of our kids that aren't saved, Lord, I pray that they would be saved. They would come to know you. We ask this, Lord, boldly, persistently, and we believe you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for this season of miracles, God. We thank you for the precious, sweet Holy Spirit that's in this place right now, God. Yes, we thank you, God, that when we ask for you to overshadow us with the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that you will overshadow us, God.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray for the women, the families that have a desire to have babies, and
yes,
some of them have been asking you for years, God. And as we heard today, Lord, we can step out and we can ask you for miracles.
Yes,
Lord. Yes. So, Lord, we just simply come in that childlike faith for you to do a miracle
come
for
on,
the families
Lord.
That
yes,
want
Lord.
Babies,
do it,
Lord.
Lord. Do it,
we
Lord.
Just pray the same way that you came upon the mother of Jesus, Lord, that you would overshadow the
yes,
women in this
Lord.
Church
yes, Lord.
That want to have
thank
babies.
You, Father,
we ask for it in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Bless the foster parents, Lord. The adoptive parents, Lord. Father, I pray that every child that needs a loving family would find that, Lord. Let the church be the answer, Lord, and bless our children this Christmas. We thank you for this. Just while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, there's one more group of people that I'd love to pray for before we close the service. I would never embarrass you, but as I shared about Jesus and the gospel, how he came and was born into the world, he died on the cross and rose again. As I shared the purpose of that, that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that our sins would be forgiven and we could know God. Maybe that touched you in a way and you haven't thought much about your relationship with God, but you'd like to know that you're forgiven. You'd like to have the assurance that one day when you pass away, that you will go to heaven and you'll be with God. I'd like to give you the opportunity to invite Christ into your life. I could not do that for you. You would have to do that, but I could help you. I could pray for you. And again, I would never embarrass you, but if that's you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you would just say, Pastor David, I'd like prayer to turn my life over to Christ. I want to invite Christ into my life. Would you just raise your hand and let me pray for you? Just wherever you are, just slip it up. Just slip it up right wherever you are. God bless you. Just lift your hand. We had 11 hands in the first service. It was so beautiful. Is there anyone here to just say, Pastor, pray for me? Everyone here knows Jesus? All right. Lord, I just pray over your hand upon every person's life, Lord. Thank you, Father. You know where our hearts are at. We just ask you to bless, Lord. Bless the online audience. Bless those that are listening in the cafe. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your peace touching us in Christ's name. Amen. 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 We're going to put a prayer up on the screen. This would be your opportunity to speak a prayer related to this message right out to God. Let's just say this prayer, all of us together. Father God, thank you for loving me and accepting me as your child. Help me to humble myself and become like a child. Give me a childlike faith to believe for the impossible, to live authentically, ask persistently, and dream creatively. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Worship team, let's worship the Lord a little bit. Ushers are going to come and serve the people. If you're new in the church and you haven't done so, please drop in the card that says, I'm new here. We'd love to get to know you. And I'll come back and speak a prayer at the end.
Christ, close.
I am so glad we got to be together. I don't know what your plans for the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are. Maybe you're traveling. I pray safety on you if you are. We would love to be a part of your Christmas Eve. We're going to have two great services here. Candlelight Christmas morning. Christmas Eve morning. How do you say that? You know what I mean. December 24th in the morning. That's Christmas Eve. We're going to have candlelight. It's going to be very special. We saved some beautiful music, and it's going to be special to be with our church family on Christmas Eve. So come back, join us, bring some family members and friends. I promise I'll behave. Amen. Lift your hands. Let me just bless you. Father, I just speak a blessing. Let childlike faith rise in us, Lord. Let us lose just enough of that adult doubt and fear to live fully in the kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Merry Christmas. You are dismissed. Thanks, worship team. Good job, guys. Thank you.